You ever had an idea that you just couldn't get out of your head? Maybe nobody else gets it yet, but you're sure that it's brilliant. Our next story is about a guy who's been committed to an idea like that for the past decade. Here's Only a Game's Martin Kessler.
There are two things you need to know about Nick Elam. He's really smart. He's a member of Mensa. And he really cares about sports. Back in 2003, when Elam was an undergrad at the University of Dayton, he needed a summer job. Instead of bagging groceries or delivering pizzas, he applied to join the grounds crew for the local minor league club, the Dayton Dragons.
They called me in for an interview, but really it was just kind of a tour. I basically just had the job and did that for 3 years and loved it. But then I thought, you know what, I might be ready for the big leagues at this point.
So Nick Elam called the head groundskeeper for the Cincinnati Reds. Elam's now in his 12th season with the club.
There's a lot of very skilled and knowledgeable people on the Reds grounds crew. I'm not one of them. If you were to rank us by our groundskeeping skills, I'm not sure I'd be in the top 20, but I've got spunk, and so that's what I'm there for.
You might wonder why a guy in a high IQ society still spends 50 nights a year dragging around bags of dirt or pulling a tarp over a baseball field.
It's just exciting to play a very small part in the experience of the game.
Elam doesn't devote all his time to grooming baseball diamonds. He works as a middle school principal. He just completed a PhD in educational leadership. And he's trying to change basketball.
To be honest, my highest hope for this idea is that it is adopted at every level of play and that it will be remembered where one day I'm being inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts.
But let's start at the beginning.
This has become a physical battle of attrition.
It's 2004. Nick Elam's promising groundskeeping career has just begun. And on a Sunday in late March, he and his housemates are sitting together on the mismatched furniture in their cramped living room watching the NCAA basketball tournament. There's a tight game between Duke and Xavier. With less than 3 minutes to play, Duke takes a three-point lead. Then the game starts to slow down.
Little clock usage now. Some heady people, particularly Duhon, at the helm.
In case you missed that, the announcer's praising Duke's point guard for dribbling the ball 35 feet from the basket, trying to waste time. Eventually, Xavier had to resort to this.
Here's the ball to Deng, and he's fouled by Sato.
Maybe you know how this plays out. The trailing team fouls on purpose to stop the clock. The strategy doesn't work. Duke still wins after everyone spends a couple minutes watching tall guys shoot free throws. The games on this particular Sunday weren't especially ugly, but they bothered Elam and his friends.
And now, during the most important part of the game, what should be the most exciting part of the game, it's just ugly basketball, but also it's an ineffective strategy to try to come back, but it's still their best option. So we were just talking about how weird that is and thinking there's got to be a way to compel teams to play by the spirit of the rules.
They batted around some ideas. Maybe the penalties should be harsher for deliberate fouls, or maybe play the games without a clock. First team to, say, 75 points wins. But that wouldn't work. Some games would end in an hour. Others could take 4 hours. And that's where the conversation ended. But privately, Elam kept thinking about the problem. Finally, in 2013, he settled on an idea he really liked. With less than 4 minutes to go, the clock shuts off. Then, take the leading team's score and add 7 points to it. That becomes the target score. First team to reach that total wins. For example, say it's 66-60 with just under 4 minutes left. You take the leading team's score, 66, and add 7. The clock would shut off for the rest of the game, and the first team to reach 73 points wins. The trailing team wouldn't have to worry about running out of time, so they wouldn't need to foul on purpose.
I think it's actually less gimmicky than what we see now at the end of games. It's an idea where you're going to ultimately play a basketball game to a point total, and that's how most of us learn to play the game, playing on the playground to a certain point total.
Elam called it the hybrid duration format. And he was convinced it was the solution. But first, he figured, he had to persuade people there really was a problem. So in 2013, he began his own study. He recorded every NBA game on national TV and every college basketball game on ESPNU and in the NCAA tournament. And every week, he spent his free hours watching the final few minutes of all those games while entering data into an Excel spreadsheet. A few years and a couple thousand games later, the results were striking. The fouling strategy was successful less than 1% of the time.
I realized, yeah, the problem is more common and more striking than what I had initially thought. That's when I really started to believe in the necessity of the idea, not just the soundness of it.
Elam put together a PowerPoint presentation titled Time's Up for Basketball's Game Clock, and he emailed it to almost anybody he could find connected to basketball. NBA execs, WNBA owners, international leagues, all the way down to local rec leagues.
I thought, well, maybe, you know, they've got nothing to lose, I guess. I didn't even get any responses from them, positive or negative.
Some people did write back, and some said it was an interesting idea, but nobody actually wanted to try it out. Elam didn't stop sending emails.
If I didn't believe in the idea, if I didn't think somebody was going to embrace it, I would have given up on this a long time ago. I thought at some point, somebody's going to give this a shot.
And that brings us to a guy named Jonathan Mugar.
I'm a creator, founder, and CEO of the basketball tournament.
Mugar is a former Division III basketball player who went to work in Hollywood. In 2011, he got the idea for a basketball tournament with a large cash prize. Anyone, your average Joe or an NBA player, could enter a team. He spent 3 years planning and raising money. In 2014, the first edition of the basketball tournament was scheduled to take place, with a grand prize of $500,000. Before the first tournament, what was like the biggest event you had ever put on?
Put on? I mean, yeah. For where I was solely responsible for it, probably nothing.
And yet, the first edition of the basketball tournament was a success. Former Division I and NBA players entered. ESPN streamed the championship game online. And over the past couple years, the tournament has gotten bigger. In 2015, the prize grew to $1 million, and ESPN broadcast games on national TV. Mugar hoped there would be buzzer beaters and exciting finishes, but sure enough, many games ended with fouls and free throws.
Those were so painful to go through. And I remember going over to our basketball operations people like, we got to do something about this. This is terrible.
Could they say anything to make you feel better?
No. It's like, you know, I say it happens. That's what happens in basketball. There's no answer.
At least that's what John Mugar thought. Last August, he got an email from some guy in Ohio with a 67-page PowerPoint presentation. It was, of course, Nick Elam's proposal. Mugar liked what he read, and the more he learned about Elam's backstory, the more he was convinced he should trust the Mensa member / groundskeeper / middle school principal.
It's unbelievable. This guy's been spending 10 years in this concept, and he's a genius.
So last March, Mugar decided that some of the games for the upcoming 2017 edition of the basketball tournament would be played with the new ending. But Mugar did want to tweak one of Elam's ideas. The name, the hybrid duration format, wasn't going to work. In late March, Elam got an email from Mugar. It said,
"Hey, we'd like to name this the Elam ending. What do you think about that?" And I replied, "I think that's awesome." I do remember that moment.
So more than a decade after Nick Elam started thinking about changing basketball, the first games with the Elam ending will be played on June 17th and 18th in Philadelphia. Nick Elam plans to be there, clipboard in hand, taking notes. Maybe you should tune in too. Could be a historic moment for basketball. And at the very least, the games won't drag on. For Only a Game, I'm Martin Kessler.
Ahead on Only a Game, the sudden and puzzling end of Rick Ankiel's once promising pitching career.
The thing, the yips, the monster, whatever you want to name it, you lose your ability to do something that you've done your whole life without the explanation of why.
That's just ahead on Only a Game, and you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Only a Game NPR.